Let's appreciate Pastor Mwangi for leading us so well. We also do call each other Kirinyaga Mafia, simply by pure coincidences that we come from not very far from each other back in the county of Kirinyaga. Though he seems to have lived in the village a little bit longer than me. So a couple of times, we have to meet somewhere. But he's a very, very good, it's a good friend. I also would like to take this opportunity to invite all of you who are joining us via live stream. It's always a pleasure to be able to have you. I know that there are a couple of people probably watching this at about 2 a.m. out in the Minneapolis area. That is our very own Pastor Richard Munala. Hope that you are awake and following this sermon. It's always a pleasure to be able to join. But how are you? Good one. Now, the old adage is true that cheap is expensive. And some time ago, I happened to have bought my wife a phone. But due to memory challenges, it stopped updating at some time. And generally what has happened is that it could no longer be able to update and just became old. And so what has happened is that about 2 weeks ago, I seriously started looking for a phone so that she could actually be able to communicate and communicate well. Now, generally what happens is that in our modern age is that you have Google. And Google sometimes is not your friend because a simple look for a phone will give you myriad capabilities about it, what it can and what it cannot do. And then, of course, you have YouTube, where you're able to watch different people say different things about a particular model. But by God's grace, I was able to settle on something. Talking about mobile phones, one of the things that happened is that I was very curious. I think when you're looking for something, you become acutely aware of a number of things. Now, the Communications Authority recently said that 95% of this country has now been penetrated by mobile telephony. That is quite a feat. What is even more interesting is that around the world, 80% of the adults actually do have a mobile phone. Now, 95% of all adults in the world are within arm's reach of their mobile phone 24 hours a day. In fact, more people have mobile phones than a toothbrush. Very interesting when you think about mobile phones. Now, in our home, we have a very interesting policy with Matters mobile phone, especially between Alison and I. Our mobile phones are, to a large extent, not a private space, but an open space for both of us to use. She can use my phone to make phone calls and send texts, despite the fact that, and the reason why we have this policy is because of the fact that we realize that sometimes also there is a requirement, especially among couples, for them to be a bit more open when it comes to the use of the mobile phone. And more so for myself, for my own protection. But I will say this. Some time ago, my wife has been attending a Pathway class, and she came for the Pathway class. And one of the things we do is that we stay on to allow the traffic to dissipate a bit. And she needed to call her mom. And she had run out of airtime. So I gave her my phone to call, and I needed to be able to run an errand. So in the place I went to do my errand, when I came back, I found that she had finished making the mobile, they had finished making the call, and she was going through my messages, my WhatsApp messages, and there was a certain cringe factor. I was like, you're into my space. But not that I was hiding anything, but it's interesting, despite the fact that we have a policy of openness, there's still a little bit of personal space. Now, I don't know what personal space you're looking for after 17 years of marriage and 4 children and being available and being there for 2 of their births. But it's always interesting when you talk about knowing each other. We have no sacred cows between ourselves. I do try and tell my wife many things. But does Alison really know me? May I say an emphatical no? She doesn't. And accountability is not an easy topic to deal with. But any corporate body must put in place a system that allows its members to be able to be accountable to each other. And so as we come to the business end of this series on I Belong, one of the things we're talking about is the whole issue of we are looking towards membership. And as you become a member, there are certain privileges that are that accrue to you by virtue of being a part of this corporate body. In fact, may I say, this legal body, which we are calling Mamlaka Hill Chapel. And so if we are looking towards becoming a corporate body, then there's a sense in which some of us or all of us have to give up certain liberties that we currently enjoy. And I would like to be able to say that accountability is both upward, downward, and sideways. This is one of those things that equalizes us completely. I cannot live a life of not being accountable to you. The same way, you have to be accountable towards we as the leadership. May I also go on to say that accountability also looks like this. Even at the same level as congregants, and I also being a part of this congregation, we need to be accountable to each other. We need to be able to come into each other's space. We need to be ready to give up a little bit of that liberty that we currently enjoy. Genesis chapter 3, from where we're going to be looking at, it tells us a little bit about something that has happened in the world, and that is the fall. Something beyond our scope as created human beings occurred when sin came into the world. And generally what happens is that any place in the world where sin is confronted, it will always fight back by virtue of the fact that it reeks and it permeates every aspect of our being. So accountability is actually being able to say, can you be able to look at me and be able to tell me when I am doing the wrong thing? The word membership, which we are dealing with at this moment, has also been tainted with a lot of negativity. This negativity is in most cases as a result of the fact that membership comes with a certain intrusion into our spaces and liberty. And I'd like people to say the following, that I know that some of you have come to Mamlaka as a result of the fact that sometimes the liberty that you had given the church leadership maybe was not exercised properly. Maybe you were seriously embarrassed in your previous church. And so when you talk about membership, you're a little bit trepidatious. Are you going to be in my business like the other church? Are you going to embarrass me in front of the whole church like the other church? Let me say, to the best of our ability, that should not happen. But at the end of the day, if we apply to belong, there's a sense in which we need to be able to recognize and to know that our liberties are going to be infringed upon. Why? This infringing on your liberties and my own, because the goal is to create in the church and to engage positively so that you can be able to participate in this process that we call sanctification. Because every believer needs to be growing. And part of the process of growing is the sanctification process. And sanctification in the church does not occur in a vacuum. It occurs in spaces where people are. There is nothing like private Christianity. Oh no, Christianity is always lived in the public. And it is always lived in such a way that people can actually be able to say, yes, that is a Christian. And each and every one of us, we have a sphere of influence where people actually look up to us, where people actually pin their hopes on the way we conduct our lives. When Pastor Charles talked about, introduced this matter, he showed us the following chart, that we have a crowd, we have the church, we have the covenant community, and also inside we have what we call the leadership community. You see, the crowd out there can do what it wants to do. But once we come into this church community and we choose to be able to sit under God's teaching, then ultimately it is hoped that we are going to have what we call a covenant community. Thank you very much, media team. And so what is the aim for us as a church? I believe it is two things. One, that we need to be able to walk in a manner pleasing to the Lord, which we call worship. And also we need to be witnesses to the truth of Christ in the world, which we call witness or evangelism. So if you're taking notes, basically ours is to worship and also to be evangelists in the world. Genesis chapter 3 from verse 1. Let us read a few verses. Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God really say you must not eat from the tree in the garden?" The woman said to the serpent, We may eat fruit from the tree in the garden, but God did say, you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it, or you will die. Verse 4, you will suddenly die. You will suddenly not die, the serpent said to the woman, for God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye, and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some of it and ate it. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. I think as human beings, we are badly in need of God, but also we seem to be very averse towards his stipulations. We want to be free of God. I believe it is the great thinker from the 18th century, Immanuel Descartes, who happened to have said that the chief end of man is able to one day wake up in the morning and read in the newspapers, God is dead. Why? Because we do know that God is in our business. And if there is any way we can be able to discard God out of our lives, it will be very good. Freedom and civil liberties are part of what makes us human beings. And we'll go to great lengths to make sure that those liberties are protected no matter the cost. One of the most enduring debates in every presidential election in the U.S. is gun control. Despite the fact that gun homicides in the U.S. are some of the highest in the world, it seems that Americans have a morbid love affair with a gun. You'd think that you'd have an aversion that is going to kill you, but this love affair seems to emanate from somewhere. Where is it? You are infringing on my right to bear arms, regardless of how that amendment came up in the very first place. I want people to say the following. You see, our call is people to worship, but that worship has to be defined in certain ways. The thing that Eve is sold to by the serpent is this one. God is not good. God is keeping something away from you. Genesis chapter 3 is a watershed chapter because it tells us something. It tells us that there is a creator and there is a created. And there is no way these two can be the same. So when the serpent comes up to Eve and says that you will suddenly not die, somebody has got to be lying. Either the devil is lying or God is lying. And what does Eve do? She takes the fruit and she also serves it to her husband. And they both eat and they both bring in the fall. You see, they trespass something that is also very important. Something which you call boundaries. And boundaries are very critical. There's a certain geographical region which is found between Ethiopia, South Sudan, Uganda, Somalia, Tanzania, and the Indian Ocean. That geographical region, we call it what? Kenya. And we all here are, hopefully, yes, quite a number, are Kenyans. And by virtue of being Kenyan, there are certain privileges that you enjoy. And those are very good privileges. But also, there are certain rules and laws that we have to follow by virtue of being Kenyans. So what am I saying? What I'm basically saying is that one of the other things that also defines us is boundaries. Boundaries are critical. Those of you who are parents will know very well that a child with no boundaries is actually is an insecure child. And so in Genesis chapter 2 from verse 16, the Bible says this, and the Lord God commanded the man, you are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for when you eat from it, you will certainly die. So when Adam and Eve eat of the tree that was forbidden, what basically they said is this, God, you are not good. You are keeping something away from me. And what is it that you're keeping away from me? You are keeping the knowledge of who you are. You are keeping away your God-like features. You are keeping away your essence. And there's no way those two things could actually be able to live together. We are called upon to know that we are created and there is a creator. Every single question that people have always asked in their lives, how far is too far, emanates from this chapter of chapter 3, where we always push the boundaries. And we all know that when a boundary is pushed too much, ultimately it breaks. And when a boundary breaks, something ultimately goes off. You see, The relation between a parent and a child is such as this, that at no one time can a child ever supersede a parent. Where when that relationship is broken, things are always wrong. I believe it's Dr. Phil who once said, you're not called upon to be a friend to your child. You're called upon to be a what? To be a parent to your child. And that is important for us people to remember. Verse 6 is very curious. When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some of it and ate it. She also gave to her husband who was with her and he ate it. For a season, a life without borders is a good life. Liberty is good, is a good thing to enjoy. And it seems for a season the best thing to happen since sliced bread. The challenge is this. Being boundless is an attribute that only God can be able to exercise. I work with men. And it's very interesting that there are three critical things that affect all men. PMS, power, money, and sex. And it's very interesting that these three things are insatiable in a man's life. And so it takes a lot of energy and a lot of boundaries and people being able to walk with you for you to be able to keep within that boundary. And let me say this. Yes, it is good that somebody is able to speak into your space all the time. And that is why we are saying we want to belong. And I want to be able to say that this is not just about the congregation, you, but also for me. I need to be accountable to you. And one of the major advantages of my work is this, that at any one time, whenever I am in the street of Nairobi, I know one of you is seeing me. So one of the major advantages is that I know I have to walk on the straight and narrow all the time. Even though sometimes I'm annoyed because there is always somebody who is seeing me. But also, I should live for something a little bit bigger and a bigger motive. There should be a bigger motivation. And what is this bigger motivation? To please God. Because ultimately, He is our creator. The definition of a true relationship is whereby the members of the union have a mutual submission towards each other. Only God is self-existent, and only to Him should our worship extend to. Adam and Eve wanted to be like God, but they could not even handle the knowledge of being naked before each other. They had to sow fig leaves in order for them to be able to interact with each other. And you know what? There are times sometimes we come to church because it's a form of sowing fig leaves. We want to live our lives the way we want to live, but we come on a Sunday so that we can be able to at least feel a sense of holiness, then go out and be what we want to be again. Or no, that is not the call. Ours is to be able to live a life that is always right and true before God all the time. You see, as a church, if I can use the following analogy, we have had a come-we-stay relationship without any defined boundaries. We can be able to walk out of each other easily. With no defined limitations, life gets insecure. Now we are saying, come, let us be in each other's space. Let us be able to worship God together as a good covenant community. Why should we be a worshiping community? Because ultimately, 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 8 says this, be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. He was there in the garden, and is very much with us even today. So why should we belong, and why should we be accountable to each other? Because ultimately, the reason why you left your home today is because you wanted to be able to worship God. The reason why we sang Reckless Love of God is because we know that God left the 99 to seek you. And if He left the 99 to seek you, then there's a sense in which we need to be more passionate about this living. We need to be able to live this life in the open with each other, because this is not a journey that we can be able to walk alone. We need others for us to be able to make it to the other end. Secondly, we account to witness to the world. Genesis chapter 3 verse 8, the Bible says, then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as He was walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And they hid from the Lord God among the trees in the garden. But the Lord God called out to the man, where are you? He answered, I heard you in the garden. I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid. And He said, who told you you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree that I commanded you not to eat from? The man said, the woman you put here with me, she gave me some fruit from the tree and I ate it. Then the Lord God said to the woman, what is this you have done? The woman said, the serpent deceived me and I ate. There's something very curious in the fine print of your insurance, motor vehicle insurance. When you are in an accident, do not what? Do not accept what? Liability. It's interesting, that's the kind of world. Even when you know you are in the wrong, don't accept what? Liability. Some of you who are lawyers, you'll know very well that the very first thing you tell your client is do not what? Do not accept what? Liability. The onus is always on the other person to prove their case. I love legal dramas, and it's always very interesting to be able to see how lawyers go about this. But it's interesting that denial and not taking responsibility of our actions is a part of who we are. So we'll get spin doctors, we'll get all manner of people to be able to tell us on how best to be able to react to a situation. Blaming others is a basic human trait since the beginning, since the garden. When Adam and Eve ate from the forbidden tree, their eyes were opened and they lost their innocence. God asked the man a simple question, yet penetrating one. Where are you? In the past, Adam had an intimate fellowship with God, but now he responded in fear, and hid himself. I hope that as a community, we can have people who constantly ask us, where are you? Because you cannot be able to live this life alone. God's follow-up question is even more convincing than the first one. Have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded you you should not eat? Then the blame game started. The woman you gave to me, she gave me of the fruit and I ate. The man blamed God and the woman for his sin. What is the one thing that characterizes our society today? Never accept what? Liability. What are the hardest words to be able to say between any couple? I am sorry. Why? Because if you say you're sorry, you're admitting what? Liability. And you're accepting that you're going to have to pay the price. So you come up with every form of excuse. You know you're the one who went to bed late. That's why you woke up late. That's why you're not able to come to church on time. So I am not going. So anything but to do what? To say what? I am sorry. But also, matters of accountability are also difficult. And I want to say, I acknowledge that these are difficult issues. Because sometimes you have to be a bad guy for a season. And nobody wants to be a bad guy. I mean, we all want to be in everybody's good space. So your very good friend, let's call them Jane, they are going out with this guy. And you can almost tell that this guy is not very good for them. But you know what happens over time? We don't say anything. We say, oh, Aki, you guys love each other. Then you hope that when you get married, things are going to get what? Get a little bit better. Things go really, really bad. And later you're like, what? We should have said something before. One of the things that Pastor Mwangi says, which is quite pithy and interesting, is this. He says, relationships don't go bad. They start bad. You see, sometimes we need good friends who can actually be able to speak into our space. And I want to be able to say the following. We also need good congregants who can actually be able to speak to this leadership and say, we don't think if this is the right place or this is the right direction to be able to be going. And where are you going to be able to find that space? It is by belonging, by becoming a member of this community. One of the privileges that you have is to be able to come and ask the hard questions. And you need to be able to be ready to answer some of those hard questions. I know we have the whole thing about MOG, man of God, and man of God knows everything. But guess what? God also gave you a very good brain and you can be able to do what? To think. And you can actually be able to say, I don't think this is the right direction. And one of the things that Pastor Chad is going to be able to explain to us as we come towards the end of this series will be about the church government. But I believe I saw some of our elders here. If there ever was a challenge, they come from among you. And they are a very good place for you to be able to actually go and say, would you be able to ask the leadership to please explain a little bit more on Why are we doing A, B, C, D? And in that manner, what happens is that you have a representative who is able to explain and be able to tell you, this is how we are doing things. But I want people to say, accountability is critical, because that is a challenge and the call for all of us, because we are called upon to witness to the world. Adam and Eve attempted to justify themselves and their actions. Of course, that approach failed miserably. The question then is, why was this insufficient? Why does the blame game fail every time it is played? It is simply because we are supposed to take responsibility for our actions. Certainly, that is the case in the ideal. However, it doesn't always happen. I hope that even as we belong, we can become even smaller. That you can truly, truly have a friend. That you can truly, truly have a brother or a sister in Christ who can be able to walk with you and tell you, walk in this manner, because this is important for you. We live in interesting times when we do not call out each other when something is apparently wrong. We do not ask the hard questions of, where are you? What are you doing? How did you arrive at that decision? Those are hard questions, but they are critical questions. Why? Because in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1 to 5, chapter 5, verse 1 to 5, the Bible says this: be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. But among you, there must not even be a hint of sexual immorality or any kind of impurity or greed, because these are improper for God's holy people, nor coarse joking, which is out of place, but rather thanksgiving. For this you can be sure, no immoral, impure, or greedy person, such a man is an idolater and has no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ. So why do we account for each other? Because we want all of us to be able to make it to heaven ultimately. But then we have to ask ourselves, is there any hope? Verse 21 in Genesis chapter 3, the Bible says, the Lord God made garments of skin for Adam and his wife and clothed them. And the Lord God said, the man has now become like one of us, knowing good and evil. He must not be allowed to reach out his hand and take also from the tree of life and eat and live forever. So the Lord God banished him from the Garden of Eden to work the ground from which he had been taken. Let me say this. For some of us, Mamlaka is a city of refuge, a place where you have been able to come because of hurtful things that have happened in the past. But also, it could also be a place of hiding as a result of a couple of misdemeanors that have occurred in your previous church and you came and you hid here. Let me say this. God ultimately is concerned with one thing and one thing only: your salvation. You see, Adam and Eve sowed fig leaves, which could not be able to cover their nakedness. God had to take an animal, kill it, and use the skins to cover Adam and Eve and hide their nakedness and hide a problem they previously did not have. A life lived away from accountability of the church ultimately comes to a cropper when you discover that the fig leaves are not enough. The consequence of a life lived away from God's accountability is this: it's an equal opportunity employer. It does not just touch the congregation, but it also touches the leadership. As events at Willow Creek Community Church have taught us this year, through the terrible revelations in the life of Bill Hybels, is that ultimately we need to know this. Galatians 6:1. Brothers and sisters, if someone is caught up in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently, but watch yourselves, or you also may be tempted. So temptation is to everybody. We need each other if we are going to be able to make it. We hide and cover to no avail. Adam and Eve attempted to cover themselves and justify their actions. Both actions were abject failures and wholly insufficient. It took God's acting on their behalf to provide an animal to cover them. But this also pointed to something far much greater. What is it? It was the cross on which the true Lamb of God died for all of us, so that we could be able to experience redemption. And that is why we are a community. We are a community that worships God, but ultimately also we are a community that ultimately also witnesses to the world. Each and every one of us who's here, I want to say this. We have a sphere of influence. You could be the only Christian in your community, in your place of work. You could be the only Christian in your family. And we are coming towards the end of the year when we have festivities in our homes. I pray and I ask the Lord to be able to help us all to live lives that are right and proper before God's people. But also, be on the lookout, especially as 10 o'clockers. Begin to mark a few people here and there. And when they don't come, reach, walk out to them and say, my brother, I don't know your name, but I've not seen you once or twice. You know, it's nothing as good as recognizing that you are missed. It is good that we are able to reach out and touch each other's lives. Next week, we're going to be looking at how to become a better community. But for now, I pray that we can be able to lower down our liberties and our personal Christian lives and live more open lives so that God can be able to use us, so we can be able to worship Him and also can be witnesses to the world out there. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face shine upon you now and forevermore. Amen.